Scott, you've seen the assessment that the intelligence community, the Director of National Intelligence Office, put out. And they say the top line there is the intelligence community assesses that domestic violent extremists who are motivated by a range of ideologies and galvanized by recent political and societal events in the U.S. pose an elevated threat to the homeland in 2021. So you hear what that says. So now tell us what that means.
Well, I think it really means what we've been talking about for some time, and really, you know, the press and everybody recognizes that we are in a period of heightened tension politically inside the United States. We really have this polarization going on, and we've seen that really result in kind of this demonization of the other, if you will, and that's resulted in you know, not only the attacks we've seen, but really also, you know, these thwarted attempted attacks we've seen. You know, going back to the discussions you and I had a few months ago about the attempted kidnapping of the governor of Michigan. So this is really just a continuation of you know, what's been coming down the road, you know, really for the last year.
For the people who weren't watching or weren't paying attention, what did they miss, and where are we now?
Well, yeah, really where we are now is we've had this increase in nationalism, if you will. We've seen an increase in, you know, just the demonization of, you know, the other. And whether that's the demonization of the Democrats and the liberals by conservatives and Republicans and, you know, Trump supporters, whether that's kind of a all-out demonization of the government by these actors such as the Boogaloo Movement, the 3%ers, these other more militia-type organizations, or whether it's kind of going the other way with these anarchists on the left who are also demonizing the government. You know, so we're really at this time of kind of heightened, you know, political tension. And, you know, a lot of these actors are seeking to kind of foment and stir that up. A lot of them, whether it's the white ring or the white supremacists or the, you know, the Boogaloo, the anarchists, they really want to take down the system. And the way that they want to accomplish that basically is by causing a civil war. And so that they hope that through rhetoric and ultimately through actions and attacks that they can launch a civil war.
Do you see any likelihood that they could be successful doing that? Because launching a civil war is more than just getting a bunch of people who look different from each other, who think differently from each other, to go out and fight each other. There's more to a civil war than that.
Absolutely. And that's really where, you know, where they failed. You know, even, you know, large scale attacks in the past, you know, things like Oklahoma City, that was meant to be kind of like the opening shot in the American Revolution. You know, these other attacks against, you know, Jewish community centers, even the attack against the Capitol on the 6th that was supposed to kind of, you know, launch this insurrection that would overturn the election and return Donald Trump to office. You know, all those things have failed miserably to really elicit the response that they hoped for. The sad part is, though, that doesn't mean that these people won't continue to attempt those sorts of things. You know, there again, looking at these, you know, just over the last several months with the Boogaloo Boys, you know, attacking a federal building in Oakland, California, Boogaloo Boys attempting to, you know, throw bombs at protests or Molotov cocktails at protests in Las Vegas. You know, that plot to kidnap and assassinate the governor of Michigan. There's just been a whole host of plots, you know, by these people seeking to kind of overthrow the system. And sadly, I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
So you've been a government agent. You were a government agent in your life, in your career. And you know how difficult it is when you're dealing with First Amendment issues. And that's certainly what's at play here. The unfortunate part of this is there are people who are ordinary citizens who face the risk of possibly getting caught up in something here. So give us a sense of what it is that folks need to be on the lookout for when it comes to this kind of activity spilling over into the public view.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's important to remember that, you know, the First Amendment is one thing, freedom of speech is another, is one thing, but it's quite another thing when we see people starting to plot and plan and conspire together to conduct these attacks. So once they start their attack cycle and start conducting the surveillance, start conspiring together to do these things, that's where we reach the threshold of criminality. And you know, those sorts of things can and are reported pretty frequently. You know, we've seen a number of these plots that we've talked about have been thwarted either by people reporting the activity or by law enforcement being able to insert informants, you know, into these plots. But certainly, you know, people just, you know, need to pay attention to things like bomb making activity. You know, if you hear mysterious explosions, you know, report those to the authorities. If you see someone collecting a lot of material, you know, things like, you know, acetone, acids, you know, fertilizer, other things that can be used in bomb making, aluminum powder, you know, report that to the authorities. And quite frankly, you know, a lot of people make fun of the see something, say something mantra, but it's really true. You know, and it has been very effective in stopping thwarting plots, you know, when things have been reported to the authorities.
So finally, how is it that federal agents, state and local officials and agents, rather, how do federal agents, state and local agents go about protecting the public from something like this and preventing this?
Well, a huge part of it is, you know, is responding to that information that is reported by concerned citizens, you know, and kind of turning that into intelligence and then using that to guide their investigations into potentially dangerous people and dangerous groups. Of course, at the same time, they're also going to be, you know, using tools they have, you know, legally to try to monitor, you know, protests, to try to monitor you know, social media type posts. And we've seen a number of cases in the past, where, say, the FBI, for example, has, you know, seen an individual who's talking about conducting violence, you know, on social media, kind of reached out to them with, you know, an informant or maybe an undercover agent. And they're, you know, been able to kind of strike up that friendship and then, you know, thwart the plot. So there's going to be a lot of those sorts of stings going on. There's going to be a lot of other investigations, you know, basically try to follow any lead that they can, you know, to identify these people and stop them before they can complete their attack cycles. But the important thing, yeah, speaking of the attack cycle, just to add, it is important to understand attacks just don't happen out of the vacuum. They are the result of a cycle, and it is a discernible cycle, and there are activities that these would-be attackers must take during that cycle to conduct an attack. So when people report those activities, whether it's surveillance, whether it's bomb making, whether it's other weapons acquisition, they can help thwart those attacks in the process.
Scott Stewart, Vice President of Intelligence at Torchstone Global. J.J. Green, WTOP News.